Church family, I want to begin with just a couple things on my heart before we go into the sermon. First of all, I want to wish all our dads happy Father's Day. I know my dad, Bill Larson, is watching in Ohio. He would not miss his son's sermon for anything. So, Dad, happy Father's Day. When I think of Father's Day, I actually think of this picture right here on your screen. This is my dad and I playing basketball in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm probably about the age of my son, 9 years old. And I just want to say these shorts that we are wearing should be outlawed. These should be illegal now. Dad, you should have never worn those. But one thing I learned from my dad, and this picture represents for fatherhood for me, is that dads, one of our main callings is just to be present and to give our time to our kids. I cannot tell you how many basketball games I played with my dad on this pavement. How many games my dad came to when I was in high school, even though we were losing every single game. And it has taught me that this is the most precious gift that we can give our kids, is our time and our presence. And so I just want to encourage you dads today. I know so many of us think, oh gosh, can't we be better dads? But let me tell you that just the small amount of time and presence that you give to your kids, that you initiate with them, means so much. It means the world. So I want to just encourage you to spend that time. Give your kids that presence. It is so important. Claire, Will, and Finn, if you are watching Dad preach a sermon today, I want to say I love you. You guys are one of God's greatest gift to me. And I love that I get to be your dad. I also want to say that, you know, for those of us who maybe can't have children of our own, and there's a pain there of wanting to be a father, you know, God's Father's heart, His Father's heart is able to come through, even through fostering, through adoption, through mentoring, through giving time and presence to youth in our city. Not every child in this city gets to have the presence of a dad in their lives, or even a good dad. I've read that there are 30,000 children in the foster care system currently awaiting a home, and I know some even in our congregation have a heart for this. And so, just as an encouragement today, that even if you don't have kids of your own, fathers, the father heart of God can come through in just your love and reaching out to the youth in this city. So happy Father's Day. I wanted to just begin with that. And I wanted to now just move into something a little more serious. I know many of us are just feeling so weary. Creation is groaning. I think of COVID-19. I think of this world pandemic that we have right now. I think of this pandemic within a pandemic that our country is facing, just the deep, deep wounds of healing and relationships that need to happen between the church and our African brothers and sisters, but just between the races right now. There's such deep wounds and healing that needs to happen. And I think there's even, even within our church, we experience that there's just so much going on. There's so much we're processing. Whether it's, a statement that we put out on racism, whether it's a statement on holiness and leadership, and, you know, there's just so much going on. And if you are feeling weary, I want to just invite you into this space. I'll tell you, with everything going on, I am just ready for a meteor to hit LA. I'm like, what else is going to happen? But really, as we go through all of this, and really my heart as one of your pastors in this church, and everything that even this church is experiencing, all the things that are stacking up, my heart is that we would keep listening to one another, that we would keep seeking to understand one another, that we would not close off each other from listening and from seeking to understand. And I want to say that to the extent that I have not fostered this kind of conversation and listening and seeking to understand, That can cause hurt. That can cause pain from leadership. And I want to ask your forgiveness as one of your pastors. And I pray that God would pour out his grace upon all of us in these days. We need it so much. We need his grace. Without that, we have nothing. So let's come into this time of listening to God's word together. Let's listen for him. There's a lot of things I could talk about today. Really, what I want to talk about is Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you are a Father who has compassion on us, that your mercies never fail. Great is your faithfulness. God, we pray that you would pour out your grace upon each and every person in this congregation, that you would pour out your grace upon each and every person in this city. And God, as we look at your word today, Jesus Christ, would you be revealed to us? Would you open our eyes and our hearts to see you and only you, Jesus? It's in the mighty name of Christ that we pray. Amen. We're going to continue our series in Job today. We're going to be reading from Job chapter 14, 7 through 14. And chapter 19, 21 through 27. Now, hear God's word. For there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. Though its roots grow old in the earth, and its stump dies in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put forth branches like a young plant. But mortals die and are laid low. Humans expire, and where are they? As waters fail from a lake, and a river wastes away and dries up, so mortals lie down and do not rise again. Until the heavens are no more, they will not awake or be roused out of their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If mortals die, will they live again? And into chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this scripture reminds me of a book that you probably have on your shelf, The Giving Tree, this stump that we hear about in Job. But you remember this story, I'm sure, that once there was a tree, and there was this boy who she loved, this tree. The tree loved this little boy. And every day the boy would come to the tree. He would gather her leaves. He would make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. And as you remember, the story goes on. The boy gets distracted with life. He gets too busy to come back to the tree. And he does come back and he says, you know, I want a family and children. Can you help me with that? And the tree says, well, you can cut down all my branches and you can go build a house and so that you'll be happy. And then later on, an older man comes back and, you know, he's saying the same thing, that what can you give me? I just want to get away. I just want to get on a boat and get out of here. And the tree says, well, you can cut down my trunk and you can make a boat and you can sail away. And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. and the tree was happy, but not really. And this stump, this image, is what Job is talking about in this passage. He's comparing this dead tree stump to human life. And what he's saying essentially is a tree has hope. A tree can come back to life again. But do we as humans have hope? And in order to fully grasp where Job is emotionally, I think we have to look back first on chapter 9. He's a man who is just at the end. He's at the end of his rope. He's wondering if there really is hope for him. And then there's times where he shows signs. There's times where he shows that he might just believe that there is hope out there. And I love this character, Job, because he's so honest with God. He's so honest with his friends. He says, you know, if I could just have a mediator, if I could just have someone to stand between me and this God who I just feel is against me, everything is going wrong in my life. Everything is going wrong in this world. If I could just have somebody to stand in between me and what feels like this angry God. And he says, but you know what? I know that that person doesn't exist. And so here he is now in chapter 14. He's kind of fluctuating between despair and maybe just glimmers of hope. And he has this phrase, a tree has hope, right? But do we as humans have hope? I was remembering just the fragility, the mortality that we all experience, that we are feeling. Many of you, we've heard a friend, Mari Windsor, Pastor Dan would visit her, our pastoral staff visited, and Mari was just a sweet soul, a friend of our congregation, and she was so successful with Pilates. So many in the industry knew her, and she had a severe case of ALS, and for several years, she was on life support. And in April, in the midst of COVID, her family called and they said, you know, it's time for Mari. Mari has decided to go home. And I had the opportunity to go into her home with her friends and family, with over 140 people on Zoom, and just hear stories about Mari, people's friends' affirmation of Mari. And it was such an honor for me to go into that house in the midst of this pandemic and share the hope of Jesus Christ with those on that Zoom call. I shared from John 14, just that Jesus is preparing this place for us in our Father's house, preparing us for home. But those kind of things, when you see the suffering and the mortality of life, that these are just the painful reality that we live in. And this is what Job is experiencing. There's hope for trees. Trees can come back to life, but is there hope for humans? If mortals die, will they live again? And Job is really talking about the end of his life. And it's interesting, at the end of this scripture, he says, if mortals die, will they live again? And this word he uses here for live again, it picks up this sense that plants can also regenerate. It's the same kind of word of, can humans live again if we die? Will a plant come back to life if out of a dead tree stump? And Job seems to just be holding on to this hope that yes, there is hope. There is hope. You know, one of the days when I visited Mari, her husband gave me this succulent cactus, and it was called a night blooming cereus. And he broke off this plant and he said, all you have to do is just stick this plant in dirt and this plant will grow. And so I brought it home and I stuck it in dirt and it is taking roots and it is beginning to grow. But Job is talking about this process that even out of a dead tree stump, God can bring life again. I think of this life that we've been given. As Job says, mortals lie down. They do not rise again until the heavens are no more. They will not awake or be roused out of their sleep. And church family, we need to know And this city needs to know that there is no hope apart from Jesus Christ. There is no hope that we have apart from Jesus Christ. And historically, interpreters, that as they've looked at this scripture, they have picked up this scent. It's interesting. It says, you know, if a stump can just kind of pick up the scent of water, it'll come back to life. And people who've looked at this scripture have picked up the slightest scent of Jesus Christ in this passage. Jesus Christ, who was arrested, who was mocked, who was beaten on a cross, who cried with a loud voice, breathed his last, and died. And this man, Joseph, came to Pilate and he asked for Jesus's body. And so Joseph took the body and he wrapped it in this clean linen cloth and he laid it in this new tomb that he had. And he rolled this huge stone in front of the tomb and he went away and it was final. Christ was dead and buried. And Jesus, who was fully God, but also fully human, laid in this dark tomb, one who shared our humanity 100%. Would Jesus come back from this brutal death? Would anything come out of this dead stump? And we hear Job's question in verse 14, if mortals die, will they live again? And it's interesting, I want you to see on your screen here the way that people have looked at this passage over the years. This is an illustration from the 13th century that depicts Job as a prophet witnessing to God's redemption through Christ. God is fishing to catch the sea monster in Job 41:1, and this is allegorized as the devil. You can see that in the picture. And you look in the middle of this picture, there's a tree stump in the middle of the page, and it shows this new shoot sprouting out, this new shoot that we see in verse 7, for there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again. And this, in this picture, signifies the resurrection hope on the account of the cross. The tree represents the cross, the death of Christ, and the shoot, the resurrection of Christ, Christ coming back to life. And so when we look at this passage of scripture, I want us to see just the hint of Jesus Christ in this passage. Jesus Christ, our hope. And here is Job, this man who's been so broken down. His friends have felt more like enemies. He's felt that the God of heaven is against him. He's been isolated, he's disintegrated, he's disoriented, and he asked God if there could just be one witness in heaven on my behalf. And then we hear, as we flip the page or a couple pages in chapter 19, and we continue on. The meteor hasn't come yet, so we're gonna continue on in the scripture here. But he says, oh, that my words were written down, oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with a lead, they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will stand upon the earth. We come to this passage in Job that is arguably probably one of the most quoted and the most familiar passages. In fact, George Friedrich Handel's Messiah, and the third movement carries this theme of this passage, this theme of resurrection. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And so Job has been just walking this journey and saying, if I can just find somebody like an arbitrator, a mediator to stand between me and this God who feels so angry, if maybe there's a witness in heaven that can vouch for me, just someone who will come to my side. He seems to be getting closer to this hope, but it still seems insufficient for Job until we get here to chapter 19. And Job dares to imagine this Redeemer who will come through for him. We remember this image of a redeemer that goes back to Exodus, that when the people of God cried out, there was groaning, there was deep cries, deep sorrow that God's people felt. And they cried out, and it says that God rescued them from slavery. God redeemed their lives. We'll remember in passages like Leviticus, the kinsman redeemer, this that if a family member goes through hard times, I mean, even now in the midst of COVID, so many are struggling financially, but if one of us goes into hard times and we have to sell a piece of property to get by, or that a redeemer, someone from the family would come and help, would come to that aid. And so this is the imagery behind this passage. My redeemer, Christ Jesus, he lives. There is someone, church, that has come through for us. Someone who has rescued us from a life of meaninglessness, from a life of isolation, but much more from a life of sin and separation from God. His name is Jesus Christ. My Redeemer lives. Don't we need to hear that right now? In the midst of everything going on in this world, in the midst of a pandemic within a pandemic, in the midst of just questions and wrestling and struggling as a church, don't we need to hear, my Redeemer lives. He was arrested, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was crucified, he was buried, and it was final. It was over. And the scriptures tell us that on the third day, he was raised to life again. In the Gospel of John, it tells us this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Will mortals live again? Yes. By placing their trust, when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life through Jesus. Romans tells us that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My Redeemer lives. Church, this is the hope in my heart today that I want to share with you, that in the midst of suffering and death, my Redeemer lives. In the midst of a world pandemic that is isolating all of us right now, my Redeemer lives. In the midst of a pandemic, within a pandemic, as our country groans for healing and reconciliation, my Redeemer lives. On the streets of Hollywood, last night I walked down to my favorite juice bar. There weren't as many people out as normal, and I wondered, is there any hope out here? And I came back to the church, I came back to these doors at Gower, and there was tons of bags of donations that were there. And a lady came up and she smiled at me and she said, "Are these for free?" I said, "Yes." Friends, my Redeemer lives. I walked into the church and I was greeted by our custodian, Ricardo. Ricardo asked me, "Pastor Joel, how are you doing?" I said, "Ricardo, how are you doing?" He said, "You know, Joel, this is another opportunity just to fall on our knees each day." Friends, within the church, my Redeemer lives. But you know what? It's even greater than that. My Redeemer lives outside of these walls. Across the way from us where we live, there's a woman, and she had struggled with addiction for years. And in a very short time, she lost two of her closest friends. She lost a cat that she loved. And she was at rock bottom. Hearing her sounded like that dead tree stump, wondering if there would be hope again. And then a friend of hers came and brought her a book. And the title of that book was Rediscover Jesus. And my neighbor began to read this book, and she began to meet Jesus Christ. And she found a church just within walking distance of our neighborhood. And one day she came over And she said, "Joel, I just want to tell you I got baptized and how much this has changed my life. And let me tell you, when we see our neighbor, it is remarkable the change in her life. It is all over her face. It is deep within her. Jesus Christ has changed her life. My Redeemer lives." Friends, when we look back into this story, at the very end, this man comes back and he says, "You know, at this point, I just want to sit down and rest." And this man sits down on this tree stump. And if you just give me just a little bit of imaginative liberty, I imagine that out of this stump, life has come. Jesus Christ, this man who loves us, who has poured out his life for you and for me, who has gone to great lengths to rescue us and redeem us. Friends, is there hope in this world? Yes, my Redeemer lives. Amen.